And as we come into Bible study tonight, we're going to talk about sanctification out of the book of Haggai. Out of the book of 2 Kings, the 17th chapter. And that sanctification, and that's being set apart for use by God. God setting us apart for use by Him. And a procedure, some of the ways that he go over that. Okay, well tonight as we're talking about scatter, we go use it in terms of sanctification. God sanctifying his people in the scattering as how he's going about to scatter them. We've seen in the book of 2 Kings 17 chapter, and the 8th verse said, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all the cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced cities. And they set up images and groves in every high hill under every green tree. And they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord had carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord thy God. And we talked last week that he caused the king of Assyria to come in to scatter the people. They displaced a lot of the wealthier ones. They took them away into captivity. The lower class, the farmers, you know, the ones that were really kind of poor or whatever, he left them in the land, and he brought people from other nations, other conquered nations, to populate those areas and to intermingle. What he was doing was contaminating the bloodline. He was contaminating their purity. So they married, intermarried with those people, and lost the identity. That's how Samaria, and the occasion for Jesus to go through Samaria and talk with the woman at the well about worship. He was going to bring the Gentiles into his flock. But also, the people that he carried away and scattered abroad, his people, the lost tribes of Israel. And last time we looked in the book of James 1 and 1, 1 Peter 1 and 1, and throughout was looking at, he was talking about the 7 tribes that were scattered abroad. And it listed the name of some of those places that they were scattered abroad to. And as he scattered them abroad, what he was doing, he was spreading also not just the idolatrous, fornicating Israelites, but of those people in Israel. Not all of Israel was doing that. Some of them were good people, God-fearing people. And that's symbolic of the church in this latter days being sprinkled throughout the earth. The sower went brought forth the sower seed. And he scattered his holy people. The power of his holy people. He wanted those people scattered throughout the earth. Those lineages would bring forth holy seed, being fruitful and multiplying. And they would pass it on through generations. And I tell you, the Hebrew people were good at telling stories and the poetry and passing on traditions. And throughout the earth we have signs of where Jewish cultures, different cultures throughout the earth was placed, because of his promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. So we had a lot of proselytizing that was going on, people coming to the Jewish religion, Judaism, and even so today. So let's look at what the word sanctification, in its narrow sense, its broader sense, and how the church should look at when God scatters his people, and it's for different reasons. And he always has an ultimate purpose, and he's beyond understanding. We look at the word sanctification. The importance of a right understanding of the fundamental theme before us can be gleaned from the fact that as Christ was about to die, he prayed for the sanctification of his own people. You know, he said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thine word. Thine word is truth. So we see here, as we have to look at that and delve with it, sanctification is a process, dear. It's a process of God's word working in us and accomplishing a task of bringing us into the fullness of God's image, likeness, and character. Because as I taught earlier, that he imputes his righteousness to us. But that's imputed righteousness still, you have to build the character to go with that righteousness. You have to build the character of a child of God. So salvation is not just a one-time process of being saved, but it's a continual process that will continue on throughout your life. It's a washing of the word of God. Let's read that prayer in its fullness. John 17 chapter, and we'll start at the 11th verse. And I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And we're talking about Judas. We know he was a devil. We know that the word of God really was not ever applied to his life in such a fashion that he could receive the grace of God. He failed the grace of God. He failed to comprehend of hearing Jesus' message. Even though he was one of the disciples, they knowed he was going to be lost, that he wouldn't believe, that he was a professor only. So we're going to have to see that it's going to be counterfeit among us as it was counterfeits among Jesus, as it's counterfeits during the time of Israel and Judah, as is in the church today, as in the nation today. They're counterfeit Christians. This is a time, he says, perilous times, as it never was before that had come upon the earth. We are in that time right now. It's very dangerous. Very dangerous time. So he says, I have given them thine word, and the world had hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thine truth. Thine word is truth. So the word is what purifies. The word is what washes. We're washed by the word of God. That meant as we take heed to the word of God, as we allow the word of God to be applied in our life, that's what I was consistently tell us to study to show ourselves approved and be doers of this word. It's the only way we can be washed in the word, compatible with the sermon that I preached last Sabbath day. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. But he goes on in that prayer though, and when he says, sanctify them through thine word, he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, so I have also sent them into the world. So as I said, he was sending his people into the whole world. He didn't want them bunched up on one another in Jerusalem, so he sent the scattering, the persecution of the church onto Jerusalem. He sent Assyria in to scatter the people and to carry them abroad at that time. That's a type and shadow in the Old Testament, which was written for our admonition on whom the ends of the world who had came. So we see Israel scattered, the lost tribes. God hadn't forgotten them, those that are truly his, but all of them were not his. Just like all of the ones in the church, not his. Just like all of the disciples was not his because he knew Judas was lost. So he says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. In other words, he consecrated himself to God. He sanctified himself. That they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, through the apostles' word. He's praying for us also. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art one in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So anybody that's speaking a divisive message, that's the politicians today that's working contrary to this nation being one. The intent of the heart is seen by God. Anybody that's dividing their households, the intent of their hearts, God sees them. Any employees on the job, wherever you be, God is not the author of confusion, but that confusion has to come because he's sending a sword upon the earth, his word, to separate the people, to cause problems in households, to cause problems throughout the earth. It's going to be a time of turmoil, and a lot of your enemies going to be the ones in your own house. So don't be naive. Don't be naive, because that's where most sheep lose their lives, because of naivety. Because it's very dangerous out there. You have to be wise as doves. I mean, wise as serpents, but harmless as a dove. So anybody in these people that's spewing out vitriol, and you see so-called Christians that's reviling and that's very talkative and do this and do that, they're not true sheep of the Lord. They're not true worshipers of God. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. That's one of the signs. That's one of the signs of unbelievers. So we have to be discerning. This is not, that's why I say it's not just about coming to church or coming to Bible study. This is about living it and actually being aware when you see these things develop, whether it be in your children, whether it be in your wife, wherever it be, because it's going to be in a lot of these places. But if we close our eyes to it, we won't be consecrated to God. Okay, he said he wasn't going to pray for the world, but he was just praying for those that the Lord had given him. So he wants us to be washed and cleansed by his word. Ephesians 5 and 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave it himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The word, you have to be washed by the word of God. That's the only thing that's going to cleanse you, that's going to purge you, that's going to sanctify you. It washes away all filth. That's if the word is applied to your life. Paul spoke of sanctification. Now, a lot of people, when they think of sanctify, they think of some self-righteous person or some person trying to be. We didn't see what the holiness churches and apostolic churches and a lot of people have done to discredit just what the word holiness, sanctification mean. Paul spoke of sanctification, and he listed it in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 and 1 Corinthians the 6th chapter. Yet in the list he gives of those thus described, there are no good pious people. In other words, it's not this piety which we see somebody feigning as though they're sanctified. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Those that are set apart in Christ Jesus. Those that are sanctified in him. Called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Are you looking at that verse good? Like I say, you kind of keep your eyes on that. The Corinthian church was one of the most corrupted group of people. Those are the ones that he said, are you yet carnal? Those were the carnal ones, those that had divisions and things in the church. This first letter is a whole lot of rebuke. It's really harsh on the church. The sixth chapter, as we go on, and we will pick it up at the ninth verse. Now, he called them saints. He said, those are the saints, and he describes them. But let's look at how he describes them. Sixth chapter. They were going to law. It says, "Dare any," and we'll start at the first verse, just to flush this out. "Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if you the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more then that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church." Don't get those that are of power, of class, of stature. Get those that are least esteemed, he said. We're not trying to put this and corrupt it as our courts are corrupted. That's how the nation is corrupted. Now everybody's saying about this corrupt decision of the Supreme Court, where they allowed, where these super PACs coming in and political ads and everything. This is the beginning of the end. This is a corrupt court making corrupt laws, unjust laws. This nation has to go because of its political and religious leaders. It has to go. It's typed and shadowed throughout the Bible. So you can get that in your mind and heart that this has to fall. This has to be disintegrated. It has to tumble. There's no salvation in this. So we see it's corrupted. So he says, though, "Now therefore, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brother." That's what the church is involved in today. This is the most fraudulent church in the world, is Christianity. Everywhere Christianity has been, it's ruins, it's left in tatters. The nation that Christianity has been, as I told you the other week, Turkey, that's the church of Ephesus. All over in Asia, all over in Europe, all over throughout Great Britain. And we see the last bastion of Christianity here in this nation have done. It's like Judah. It has done far worse than any nation before it. And you see it today, political alliances with the religions of this world. This was a farce in South Carolina. And it's got to be coming to something. Any time a conservative, and I never read Cal Thomas, and any time he says Newt wouldn't be the man to vote for. Now, they have a problem if Cal Thomas say something like that. The nation have a problem if you have religious people. It's like they desiring Barabbas over Jesus. That's what the people said when Pilate came out. He said, "How about Jesus?" No, they said, "No, give us Barabbas. We'd rather adulterer, a murderer, than the king of the Jews. We'd rather Jesus. We would not rather Jesus. We don't love the truth. We would rather somebody that's criminal, that's low morally, that has no character." That's where this nation is. It's not set apart to God. It's set apart to destruction. He says, "Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's a bad list. But look what he adds to this. He says, and such were some of you. And such were some of the Corinthians. But he didn't say all of them. Because he says, but you are washed. In other words, you are washed, but you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. But there are some that's not. There are some that's in that sheep's clothing, that wolves that are in that sheep's clothing. And it was that way then, and it's that way now. It's so many people claim Christianity that it's taunting that to have these type people, to have these type people that would teach family values. How can you, being married 3 or 4 times, and your daughters hate their mothers? I've never seen 2 daughters to go after the mothers this way. But he said the homes would be divided. He said that this would happen in families. And this is who we're saying to make the first family. This nation has failed through. This election should show anybody. They want signs. Adults of generation look for a sign, but want no sign be given to them because they're dull of hearing and they're blind. They can't see. These are the signs. They should see signs all over the place. This should be a great sign, but they're not looking at this because God had closed their eyes. He had closed their ears. They can't hear what's being said. So, the sanctification we see is not a state of perfection, a moral perfection, but it's a process that one goes through applying the word of God to their lives, and it requires consistent Bible study. Because what happens if you are married to someone that's an unbeliever, but they portray themselves as a believer? And God says as the believer and the unbeliever, and they want to dwell together, allow them. But, you know, through Paul, he was saying this, and Paul said, I think it's in the 7th chapter of this book, because like I said, there is a difference that Paul was saying that this problem was rampant in the Corinthian church. It's the 7th chapter. And about the 10th verse, and unto the unmarried, unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from the husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to the husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But the rest I speak, and not I, and I speak not the Lord. If any brother had a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. If you got a devil living at home with you, whether it be the man or the woman, don't put them away. You're going to have to live with that devil. God has made it. See, he says, so the lamb shall lay down with the lion. In other words, you're going to have to co-inhabit. In other words, this person you know not saved, that you're taking fire in your bosom, you're going to get burned. But that's part of the consequences of this. If that wife or that husband want to stay, even though they're an unbeliever, he says, don't put them away. So it takes some forbearing and long-suffering, because your life's going to be a living hell right here on earth. And if it's your children, you have to learn forbearance, though. You see, because that's going to happen. And right now, it's in a lot of homes. The wife know the husband ain't saved, and the husband know the wife ain't saved, and both of them sit in church lying through their teeth. And it's happening politically. This one of these people was a mistress of this man while his wife was dying with cancer, was going through cancer treatment. And now we're talking about that's going to be our first lady that believes in open marriages. We got a problem as a nation. If we can't see what we're doing here, this is religious problems here. This is spiritual. And it's impinging on the physical. So what he says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let them depart. Now, if they want to go, let them go. It might be better to let them go, he says. He said, a brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God had called us to peace. And Solomon knows about that. He says, better to dwell in the corner of a roof than in the house with a brawling woman. It's like a continually drip, drip, drip. And see, the churches are preaching all steady and this, that, and talking about counseling and this. That's why we have so many husband and wife abuse cases. That's why we have so many of them killing one another. Even in the world, know when they don't have irreconcilable differences. We just can't reconcile this. Now here's Paul saying it might not be reconcilable. Let them go, because y'all were getting there and y'all were fool around there and kill one another. God has said that we should dwell in peace. He said, but now. Other, he says, but God had called us to peace. You know, a lot of times in these cases, you fool around there and lay down, she stab you, or you stab her. That's worldwide. That's because the church is not saying, well, you know, we in sin. We in a bad shape. And some people telling you that this and that, that. But this satanic spirit is real. You'll lose your life. And then that preacher, he looking around and, they was a good person. This, we don't know what happened to him. Yeah, it was the devil. You went there and told them to reconcile with the devil, what the Bible say. Yeah, the Bible does says a lot, but if you ain't living right, you can't line up with it. God causes your enemies to be at peace with you. If you are God-fearing man, even your enemies will be at peace with you. Daniel laid down in the light, them wild animals. So, he can also turn your family into beasts. It's got children killing parents and parents killing children. Because why? We've forsaken the word of God. So a lot of time that preacher preaching this and that, he might give you one-on-one counsel. He might need to be saved. Some things you'd better realize when you're in danger, as we've seen what Elisha told one of the prophets, that, well, don't tell him this. You remember he was talking to Hazael and to go tell Ben-Hadad that he was going to live, but I know he surely going to die. In other words, he was going to kill him. And you remember when Saul was king and God told Samuel to go anoint David? And what did Samuel say? Well, look, if Saul found out I'm going out there and do that to David, he caused me bodily harm. He said, okay, well, look, go down there. You go off. It's telling you offering up a sacrifice. That you have to go down there and offer up a sacrifice. If David would have messed around too much, Saul would have killed him. Like he said, one of these days he flew around there and died, hand of Saul. Paul had to get away, let down in a basket sometime. So God had given us the peace, and as I told you, he said, keep us from evil and doing evil. It's no such thing as a Christian person standing there murdering somebody or killing people or what's going on in politics with all this reviling and talking negative about one another. That's not Christ-like. You can lie to the people and tell them born again, but the very elect of God is not deceived. Now, those that's being deceived and are deceiving others are the ones that believe these lies. But their hearts and the intents of their heart is just as wrong as that person is. But they'll never see that because wicked, it goes with wicked. They all love darkness. They don't have good intents. They don't have good motives. This is evil and corruption. That's why I should beware. With fear and trembling, he says, work out your own salvation. Because it's a problem out here. And if we don't wake up and realize it, you will have a problem. That's why I say a lot of God's saints died in this Assyrian bondage thing. when Assyria came, a lot of God's saints died when Babylon come in, because they didn't listen to what the prophets was telling them. Jeremiah told them to go into bondage. We read when Isaiah last week was telling Ahaz about the son of Remaliah and Pekah, that, but as Isaiah was telling Ahaz this, he didn't believe God. He said he wasn't going to test God. He feigned religious piety. But he went depending on the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria later on turned around and took all that they had. That's who tried to capture Judah. He didn't capture Judah. God hadn't given him Judah. When he came up against Judah, Hezekiah was king at the time. He was killed by his own sons, because he went, son of Cherub, he went further than God had told him to go. But we're not listening at what the prophets of God said. Now, the substance of sanctification. What is sanctification? Its root meaning suggests a setting apart from that which is common and unclean. The Old Testament uses the term, generally speaking, to describe things, while the New Testament employs it to denote persons. Sanctification. Throughout Scripture, both persons and things are spoken of as holy, that is, set apart for a divine purpose. Sanctify is one of the words related to consecrate, and suggests not only a separation from, but unto. You understand that? Not only a separation from, but a separation unto. Separated from sin unto salvation. From works of grace, from works unto grace. So, when he sanctifies you and sets you apart and consecrates you to himself, you can't work for that. That's grace. That's something given you by God. That's sanctification, setting apart. In other words, it's dedicated for God's use. Now, faith is going to give you works in that situation. Faith is going to give you works. So it's not two works. And that's why I say you see a lot of Christians working, trying to work their salvation. You'll see those that come to the Lord and tell the Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? He will say, I never knew you. Because they have a guilt complex of they're being condemned, thinking that you can work your way to heaven. You can't work your way into salvation, work your way to heaven. You do this as a result of being saved, not to get saved. So there are a lot of people being fooled by people out there that's doing a whole lot of philanthropic work. In other words, they're philanthropists. After they get a lot of people get a whole lot of money or something, they start giving it away and doing great noble things. A lot of them do it for tax purposes, and a lot of them do it through guilt of what they've did to accomplish that wealth. Some of them, that's not all people though. Like I said, there's always an exception to any group. Just like going into captivity, there was an exception. God was scattering his people from there because they probably could have gotten corrupt there. God sometimes takes people out of a bad marriage, whether it be through the divorce or the demise of one of the spouses, whether taking a child out of a home or taking a person from a job, placing him on another job. Different circumstances and different things in your life, it's. I can't sit here and list all of the vehicles God uses to get you from one place to another place so that you could accomplish what he has for you to do. That's why it says that God took Enoch, because his works was righteous. In other words, the society was so corrupt that he separated him from that society. He was translated. He was removed by God from the place he was. God removed Joseph from with his corrupt brothers out of that corrupt family so that he could prepare Joseph. But all this time, it looked unfair to Joseph the way God did it, because he had his brothers like they was going to kill him and throw him in a pit. Then they sold him into slavery. And then he was at Potiphar's house. While he is at Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife accused him of molesting her, trying to rape her. So he was thrown in jail. Seemed like the butcher and baker, they had dreams interpreted. One of them was released. The other one left him in there. He still stayed in jail for a long time. But all during that time, God was separating him. He took him from among his brothers. He took him from here. And he was bringing him to the throne of Egypt. But see, God was sanctifying him. He was setting him apart for a use by him. These people that he removed out of Israel that was his people, he was taking them out of there, taking them somewhere else so that they could live a life that their light was so shine that men would see their light and glorify God. And ask them, what God you serve? What about you? Something's about you that's different. See, God's people are peculiar people. And when God, people, when they see your love for other people, when they see you the way you act, it's all in the heart. It's all in your demeanor. It's all in your talk. Like I say, with the talk, I hear a lot of Christian people talking. They're so-called Christian. They're Christian professors. They're not true Christians. Your life, see, they hadn't been washed. They hadn't been sanctified. God is not setting them apart. So God uses a many a kind of way to get you where he wants you at. That sanctification, it might take you through a marriage or two. It might take you through this. Someone said one time, let me leave that off. I won't discuss that. That's a private matter. But anyhow, God takes you through different things. That's why Paul was telling them here about the husband and wife not leaving in a conflicted situation, because a lot of times we stay in situations, we try to work it out through the flesh, but the spirit's not in it, and it comes a bad harm to someone in that situation. It's only going to come through harm, because you can't work this out. You have to depend on God to work it out in the leading of his spirit, the prompting and leading of his spirit. What you want might not necessarily be what God has for you. Your flesh may desire for a wonderful marriage, a wonderful children, a wonderful job, and this, God may not have that for you. That's why he told Baruch, Jeremiah's secretary, don't desire high places, don't desire this, you just stay where you're at, in the position you are. That's what Satan and the angels did. They left their first habitation. You have to know your calling. Make sure of your calling. Make sure of that vocation. There's a place where you rightly fit in the body of Christ. Any other places could cause havoc. God's going to separate you. He's going to show you. That's why I ask you, everything that's going on in your life, that's why you have to pray daily. That's why you have to read his word daily. I mean, sit down away from, get away from a whole lot of frustration and confusion to where you could have time alone with that word, where you can meditate on it, where that word can saturate you, where you can pray to God, where you can do different things and stay in communication, because without him, we can do nothing. No matter how minor, how insignificant it may mean, we need God. We need God. So, and it implies a purging from sin. Sanctification implies a purging from sin, from the old leaven, as Paul would call it. 1 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. You have to consistently apply God's word, and he's going to show you. That's why it says examine yourself to see whether you still be in the faith. God's word's going to show you whether you're walking in God's word, whether you're taking heed. It's going to show you your shortcomings.
The scripture is profitable for reproof, correction, for doctrine. It'll lead to everlasting life. The scriptures, by the scriptures, that's why a person that can take chastening, that's why a person that can take someone saying something, he takes that criticism and looks at it honestly. That's why when Jesus said you have to hate your mother, sister, father, brother, even your own life, you have to look at it and see, is that you? Are you just that way? Because you, if not, you're like a man that's looking at himself in the mirror, see it in the Word of God, but you come away forgetting what manner of person you are. Some people, and you listen at preachers and people talk, and they tell you to tell your spouse this and you tell your spouse that. That may be a Jezebel. That may be an Ahab. See, a lot of times when you glorifying and setting a person up in all this, I love you and this and that, that, you can set yourself up for a hard fall. They said Ahab sold himself to do wickedly. It would have been better if he'd have never met Jezebel, because he sold himself to do evil because of her. See, sometimes you can corrupt yourself. Because you didn't set that person in that person. You can't see no wrong in that person. Some people make their children their idol. They can't see any wrong in that child. Some people make their cars. There'd be many idols and gods today. And I see men. I've had conference with them and talked to them. And that women, as the book of Proverbs said, then brought them to be a piece of bread. That they didn't close their pensions and their retirement plans out, trying to keep that woman satisfied materially. They're not in the church now. They're not even married no more. Because some things has insatiable lust. Some men, some women would do better to have not ever met. The lower her moral standard, her standing in the community, and we are a nation that's all we're like is parasites. We suck all the life out of anything and everything we do, and it's on to the next place. It's like a virus or something. And that's what we have done to religion. We've come into religion, into God's religion, and not seeking God, but seeking prosperity, health, and wealth, money, politics, power, prestige. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. These will be added to you. But we didn't dirty up God's church. That's why in Revelation he said, I'll come and I'll fight against the church. That's why he takes his people out of these lands, because he's fit to destroy these people. His people. That's what he says in Hosea. These that I said were my people, they're not my people. These other people I said what my people, they are my people. Reject those that say, because who is my mother, sister, and father, and brother? Those that do the will of the Father. See, they are of faith. They are the children of faith of Abraham. He said, the children of the kingdom shall be cast out, be turned over to others. See, because Israel got hung up on self-righteousness, on who they thought they were. So, the book of Romans 12 and 2, sanctification stands for a renewing. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's got men and women today and admire their parents or somebody had raised them a certain way, and the book of Jeremiah talks about it. The book of Ezekiel talks about it. While these spouses, while these family members, while these preachers, and while these politicians celebrate pagan holidays as Christmas, Valentine's Day, Easter, and all this, they said the husbands or the wives went along. They cut through. They supplied the money. They supplied the works to go along with this. And the women were weeping and wailing for Tammuz. They would go in the temple. He said, come here, Ezekiel. Go in this temple. Let me show you something. And there the elders were praying toward these. In other words, it was a sunrise service. And a lot of people that got saved, their parents said, well, come to the sunrise service. Come hear the seven last words. You don't know as much of the Bible as your parents knew. And at least they were deceived. You weren't deceived. You know better than to do these things, to bow down to these idols. That's why he said the division's going to come. See, because some of the young people now say, you know, Mama was wrong. Daddy was wrong. They taught me prejudice. They taught me to hate people. They taught me idolatry. They taught me the wrong thing. And that's why he says, I'm going to cause divisions in your homes. Because your children know that the religion you're in is corrupt, and that you corrupt, the better the office, the further they get away from you. And he says he was going to separate it. He was going to turn husbands against wives, daughters against mothers, and you seeing that. That's why I say that politician's two daughters was on there against the mother the other day. That's the one who wants to say what family values are. That's the one who wants to cause our children to work as janitors. See, you looking people not seeing that. How if you come from an unsettled home? And as God told David, that one of the guys from a church, talking about he used to do these things, and one of the reporters say, well, do you think this is the man to teach family value? He said, well, David committed adultery. Well, see, the reporter had more sense than that so-called Christian. Look what happened to David. It was a dysfunctional family. David's son murdered the other son. Absalom murdered Amnon. Amnon raped David's daughter. Solomon killed Adonijah. Absalom went with David's wives. David was powerless against those children to do anything after this happened. Because God had told him, for doing this thing, David, you've caused my name to be blasphemed among the Gentiles, among the heathen. You've caused my name. That's what this nation is doing. South Carolina, Iowa, so-called conservative Bible Belt states, is causing God's name to be dragged through the mud. That politicians are giving the comedians a field day. CNN, MSNBC, all these channels, you know who they go to for a lot of their news? Saturday Night Live, The Daily Show, Stephen Colbert, because they're making a mockery out of what religion stands for, and it's not just the it's the religious people that are causing this. It's the pastors. He says the pastors have scattered the flock. Well, you got preachers letting religion be tied to politics. You in an adulterous nation, an idolating nation. The Oxford Dictionary defines sanctification. The sword's never going to leave from your house, David. The Oxford Dictionary defines sanctification as the action of the Holy Spirit in sanctifying or making holy the believer by implanting within him of the Christian graces and the destruction of sinful affections. The destruction of sinful affections. In other words, that spirit is causing you to mortify your flesh, that sin wouldn't reign in your body where you would obey it in the lust thereof. What did these guys use? I hadn't heard of this one. He said the reason he committed adultery on his wife is that the country was going through so much turmoil, and he was being so patriotic for his country that it caused him to cheat on his wife. I hadn't heard that one before. That's the same guy that's going with the woman that's supposed to be that wants to be the first lady, that said that she believed in open marriage, this is what the nation has come to. What does South America believe in this nation? Can we tell China? How can we witness in Africa? How can we witness in Australia if this is our leaders? If our Supreme Court is picking presidents as it did a couple of years ago. A preacher came in and told the lie about Terry Schiavo, and the Supreme Court intervened in there. And the doctor says, no way this lady could have moved that the preacher say he seen her move, because her body was a whole stem cell. Her brain had grown this stem cell. She couldn't have moved at all. After her death, they showed the autopsy that this couldn't have happened. But did they talk about it? It was wiped from the pages of the news. The nation have become corrupt through religion. That's why he got Israel out of the land. They had broke the covenant. The heathens are going to do what they have to do. So he don't destroy nations because the heathen's doing it. He's destroying because his people breaks the covenant with him. The ancient catechism expresses sanctification as the work of free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. So that should have a progressive sign in your life that you're getting stronger. The inner man is getting stronger and the outer man are dying. You shouldn't be soon given to anger. If we have leaders that are soon given to anger, if we have religious leaders that speak more than they listen, they're not growing in grace. The Spirit is not amply working in their life. Biblical sanctification then is the work of God whereby we are separated from the reign of sin unto God for his service. But if you're trying to lead this nation, well, you really can't follow God because you've set out and you made an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States of America. And that's the cause for you contradicting God. And God says it's better not to make a vow than make a vow and not keep it. Because as President of the United States of America, your job and your obligation is to each and every American citizen without partiality. So whatever nation or whatever ethnic group, creed, you can't distinguish or your politics or your governing can't be against that person. Your religion can't interfere with that. That's why I say you have to keep the spiritual and the political separate. The secular and the spiritual has to be separated. Because you didn't tell all these people that you can do this. You made this vow and took an oath on the Bible to be president of this nation. But now your religious views are being contradicted in your decisions. So you're not faithful to God and you're not faithful to the world. That's why Israel went into captivity, because Hosea the king, not Hosea, but Hosea the king, he was giving the king of Assyria tribute. But he stopped giving him tribute and he went down to Egypt and gave tribute to king of Egypt, so. And that's when Sabanazar came in and conquered Israel. It took about 3 years. Right at the end, when he was about to die, I think it was Sargon II, who came in as king and did up a kind of a mopping up operation. So he had kind of seized the nation for 3 years. But it was because of his hypocritical action. Because as a nation, you have to make alliances with the other nations, and those would be evil alliances. You couldn't deal with Pakistan. You couldn't do what the president did last night to go in on African soil in Somalia and get hostages out of there, because you wouldn't have a treaty or these people wouldn't allow you on the soil. As I said, this guy that was running for president, who was a governor or something, well, we couldn't have bases in Turkey, because if he didn't offend the Turkish government, well, Turkey's not going to allow us to have bases over there. That was one of the key elements in us fighting the Afghanistan's and the Iraqi war and the invasion of Kuwait. Turkey was a key, and Uzbekistan, all those, one of the guys was running for president didn't even know the names of those nations. See, so you have to have the two divided. Yeah. See, because the kingdom of God operates differently from this world does. See, that's why I say we're just ambassadors here watching what's going on in the world, but we have to pray for the peace of the nation. So whoever's president, we have to pray for that president each night, each day. We have to pray for the peace of the nation. So when I'm saying these things, I'm not being a conspirator against the nation of the United States, the nation of America, the country. Because that's what I was wanted to say about son of Rimmon and Pekah, was they were saying Isaiah was a conspiracy. It was a conspiracy that Isaiah was saying this, that another nation was going to come in and conquer his nation. God said, don't worry about them saying about a conspiracy. That's why Zedekiah locked Jeremiah up in the cistern and in the mire, because the religious leaders said that Jeremiah had prophesied against Jerusalem and said that the king of Babylon was going to come in and destroy it. So the religious leaders got King Zedekiah, which was a pansy king, and he told Jeremiah, saying that Jeremiah was speaking evil of the nation and he was in conspiracy with Babylon. But when Nebuchadnezzar did come in, he said, whatever Jeremiah want to do, let him do it. If he want to go to Egypt, let him go. If he want to come here, let him come. If he want to stay there. So whatever happens here in the United States, the true Christians should be neutral bodies. So if this guy gets to be president, I'll pray for him. And I'll still pray for the peace of the nation. Whether this one or the one that don't like paying his taxes. Don't care who become president, we have to pray for them in the peace of the nation we live in, because this nation has been very good to me. It's been very good to my family. It's been very good nation. But if they bite off the wrong thing and he go over there talking about fighting against Iran, it might be Iran and Kim Jong-il's son that come in and attack this nation. It may be China. It may be Russia. China holds the debt. What if China calls the debt? They got millions in the army. So what if it comes to that? We should pray for the peace of the nation. But those are the ones that the people elected. So we have to pray for our leaders. But see, we're ambassadors for Christ. And that's why I said the poor people, they left it in the land. So they probably take the wealthy ones. That's the one they're going to get first anyhow. They'll bomb the wealthier things. And they'll just intermingle everybody else. So whatever happens, see, that's why God says wars and rumors of war. He said, but see that you be not troubled. Persecution and all this going to happen. See that don't nobody take your peace and your joy, because I just set you apart for myself. See, if people can get you word, and that's what politicians love to do, get you word. Preachers love to get you scared. But see, God don't want you to serve him through that kind of fear. See, if you're scared of being hurt, if you're scared of this and that, that ain't what the fear he wants. He wants a reverential fear for you. We will read this week where the people of Syria feared God and served other gods. Because lions was among them. They was worried about them lions. So they feared God, but they still served the other gods. That's what this nation do. They fear God, but they're adulterers. They're fornicators. They are just like Paul was saying the Corinthians are. Counterfeits of God's prescribed sanctification abounds. In 1 Kings 14 and 26, we have what brass shields being put in place of gold shields. He took away the treasure of the house of the Lord and the treasure of the king's house, even took away all. He took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made, and King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields. In other words, shields of bronze. And committed them unto the hands of the chief of the God. You know, the politicians and the preachers always go off of us counterfeits. And they're offering us a counterfeit Jesus over here. You have to look at their works. Don't listen to what they say. Jesus said the Pharisees set Moses' seat. These religious leaders are Pharisees. The political leaders are Pharisees. Now he said, listen to what they say, but don't do like they do. Their actions are hypocritical. He said, but he could take care of the hypocrite. So Ezekiel 36 chapter, the 17th through the 30th verse. Oh, time getting away from us, Deacon. 36th chapter of Ezekiel 17. And it says, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their own doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them. See, God says he scattered them. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. Now remember, each man's going to receive judgment according to what he had done. So the ones that's going to get it to the most severe are the ones that's instigating it. But if we read in Revelations, there are those that vote for this or go along with it. Ignorance is no excuse. You give power to that by giving your presence, by giving your vote, by giving your money. You empower that. That's why it says the whole world wanted after the beast. The beast in Revelation simulates a governmental system, but it's going to be the beast and the dragon is going to be a religious and a political system wed together. And the whole world's going to wonder it after. They would take the mark of the beast. In other words, they could do like this lady in Iowa was saying, we don't care about morality, we just want this thing economically. As God says, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't have two masters. You can't serve two masters. Now, God not being polytheistic, as I was telling you about the Syrians, you couldn't profess God. That's what the Antichrist could have you doing. Professing that you know God, but you don't have the knowledge of God. A lot of people profess God and it's a practice. It is not merely a religious practice. Paul writes of those who had a form of godliness, but who were destitute of its power. In other words, they had the form and the outings, the trappings of religion. In other words, it was Satan transformed into ministers and his ministers into angels of light. In other words, it's this other Jesus that's setting up here in this nation. This is the other Jesus being formed. A form of God, but destitute of the power. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. This guy really, he's a narcissist to the core. People think about their own selves. They're covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections. One guy said, I could fire somebody, won't even hurt me, I sleep good at night. That should bother somebody, that. And, you know, to make cutting remarks at people. These are our religious and political leaders I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the small guy. I can see them every day. When your leadership is this way, this is reflective of your nation because that's who your nation empowering. They're giving power to that. Truth breakers, false accusers, these, and they don't care about the facts, what the facts is. They'll put negative ads up and cut and paste this in this modern day. They can do that. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than of God. They love their football games, their recreation, their pleasure times on the weekend. Spend so much on tailgating, cable vision, everything. They don't, if they're paying tithes and offerings or whatever, they deducted them on their taxes. They're robbing the government. They're doing all these things. having a form of godliness but denying the power. He says, from such, turn away. Get away from around. They pretend a holiness that they do not possess. Then they pretend it. They have a dazzling profession, but a lamps without oil. A true holiness implies that there is a feigned brand. In other words, if there's a true holiness, there is a false holiness. Clouds without water, clouds without rain is what Jude called them. So, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Jude says, these are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves with fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by. And Proverbs said, there's a generation that curseth father and doeth not bless mother. The unholy and unthankful for the parents, and that's what's shortening their days. So we're going to bring it to an end there, and we're going to go into this. I might try to stitch this part together at the first part of next Bible study. Heavenly Father, if we study your word, Lord God, and come before you this night, Lord, we ask you to open up our understanding that we may understand these scriptures. Let us meditate in our hearts upon them, Lord God, to be strengthened in you. In Jesus' name we pray.